Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to check us out live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
You know, right when you thought it was gone, right when you thought you had gotten rid of it, right when you thought you never had to deal with it ever again in your news feed or on your sports talk radio, it's back. And we will get into what it is coming up here in just a couple of moments from now. It is the Odd Couple here on Fox Sports Radio, though. He is Rob Parker. I am Jonas Knox, in for Chris Broussard. You can listen to the show, as always, on the iHeartRadio app. And we're going to take you all the way up until 10 p.m. Eastern time, 7 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio. And wherever you are right now, thank you for making us a part of your Monday. Rob Parker, Splenda's newest spokesman is here, and he is fired up on a Monday afternoon into the evening. Rob, what's happening?
I'm doing just great. It is a Magic City Monday. You know that?
Yes. Yeah, Magic City Monday. Yeah.
As all the clubs are opening up again and opportunities for young women to earn a living and pay for their college tuition.
That's again. Big Daddy.
Pampers and baby formula and all that other stuff. You know what
See,
I mean?
Here's my thought on that, though. If you're getting a lap dance at a strip club now, do you have to wear a mask?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because you're going to be within the 6 feet, I would assume. If it's
I think you're still wearing a mask at this point. Yeah.
I would say that the mask probably isn't the biggest issue, though. You know, especially a guy like you who wears bike shorts into strip clubs.
That will never happen.
I'm just saying. Yeah, it seems like
you are just too much.
Look, hey, man, I'm not here to judge. Rob Parker, I mentioned this, that it's back. All right. Now, a long time ago, before some of these newbies started getting into sports radio and sports media, there was a phenomenon that took place on the sports talk radio airwaves and on sports talk television. And that phenomenon was known as Tebow time, right? So Tim Tebow
was kneeling at football games. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was great. So Tim Tebow has been gone for quite some time. Now, he tried to make it as a baseball player. He was with the New York Mets, and it just did not work out. It fizzled out. And then you started to hear some rumors or rumblings about a week and a half ago that potentially the Jacksonville Jaguars might look at him and potentially bring him on. And then the news was confirmed earlier today. Tom Pelissero of NFL Network was the first that I saw that it reported it, that Tim Tebow is coming back. Tebow time is back. But he will be back as a tight end for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's going to try and make the roster, obviously reunited with his former college coach, Urban Meyer. And I know you were thrilled to know that Tebow time was upon us yet again.
This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. I've never seen so many people bend over backwards for a guy. I don't get it. I don't understand it. He got a baseball roster spot he didn't deserve, hadn't played baseball in a decade. People like him, so they just do whatever they can, and it's mind-boggling. He's 33 years old. He was in the NFL. It wasn't like he had a cup of coffee and a sweet roll. He was in the league for a couple of years. You know what? He was no good at quarterback. Back then, Jonas, people said, why don't you try out for tight end or play tight end? Because you can't throw the football. You know what he said? He wasn't interested in that. He said he was a quarterback, right? Am I right or wrong?
100%.
All right. So now he wants to play tight end, a position he never, N-E-V-E-R, never played in high school, never played in college, and never took a snap in his previous 3 years in the NFL. This is all about Urban Meyer, who coached him at Florida, and won a national championship, and their buds and their friends and all that. It is the worst thing you can do is do this when you start opening the doors for friends and family. The NFL is one of the worst sports leagues ever because there's nepotism everywhere. Jonas, you know I'm right.
I've always said the best gig in the world is being an NFL coach because you'll have a job for life because you end up on somebody's staff somewhere all the time.
Yes, that's all they do is take care of each other and keep hiring them, no matter how poorly or whatever happens. And this is another situation. I don't get it. Really, Urban Meyer, why? And then everybody said, well, you don't understand. He knows him. He was his coach, and there's no big deal to give anybody a tryout. Was Urban Meyer was a coach for 25 or 30 years in college, right?
Yeah.
Tim Tebow's the only player who ever played for him? What about all the other kids who actually played tight end who never got an opportunity in the NFL?
Yeah. Well,
they're getting tryouts, Jonas? Are they trying out at the Jaguars facility?
No,
all those other guys?
No, because Aaron Hernandez was, but you know that's not going to happen. So I hear you. This is Urban's guy, and he's going to come back and he's going to play tight end. I don't understand. Here's why is it a bad thing? Let me just ask you, why is it a bad thing that Tim Tebow comes back to play football for the Jaguars? What's bad about it that bothers you the most about the idea?
There are other people who have actually played the position who would love an opportunity, and there's not one for them. I brought up earlier in the historically black colleges. Deion Sanders went on a rant about this. Not one kid from that football. The black colleges and universities in this country got drafted in the NFL. Not one single kid, okay? And you mean to tell me there aren't other people who have played the position who would love an opportunity? That's what I'm talking about, Jonas. It's not that. If you told me he was going to be a third-string quarterback and hold the clipboard and probably would hang around for the next 4 years and just hold the clipboard and go to practice every day, could I buy that? Yes, I could buy that. But to play tight end and take a position from somebody who's actually put in the work, the time and the energy, this guy just said he wanted to play baseball for all those years. He quit baseball and said he had other callings. There was something else that was calling him, and it didn't sound like football. That's my issue. Why? If you can give me one other black player who played for Urban Meyer, who's been out of football since 2015, who had little to no success when he was in the NFL, and he got a tryout. If you give me one, two, three, four other guys, and they all got the same opportunity, I would be cool with it. But I don't think that's the case.
Yeah, no, and that's fine. And look, it is a relationship business. The NFL's always been that way. It's about who you know. You can go through why do they always bring up these coaching trees? Because these coaching trees are always there, and somebody knew somebody, and somebody was on somebody's staff. Like, you can go all the way back to Belichick's coaching staff with the Browns. Everybody from Nick Saban to Kirk Ferentz to all these guys that were on the same staff, Scott Pioli, a lot of these other guys, Mike Lombardi, and they all kind of run, and it's like a web. Like, it's about who you know, and it's a relationship business. That's why when Urban Meyer makes a decision to bring Tim Tebow in, A, I'm not surprised, and B, I'm not that upset about it.
Can I give you the difference?
Yes.
Because if you have black coaches doing that, they would be called into question. Like, this guy hasn't played. What in the world? Why would you be doing this? And that's why I have an issue with it. You talk about the relationships. Name me the last time a black coach hired an all-black staff and all of his friends and family were a part of the organization. If you can give me that, then I would buy into it. If there's a black coach, there's no way, Jonas, that he wouldn't even think about doing such a thing because people would hold that to him, that he's hiring family members and nepotism. And this guy, yeah, let me hire my Uncle Bubba, who's never been a football coach. He's going to be my defensive coordinator. How would that go over? I'm just asking you.
How'd you know my uncle's name was Bubba? What the hell's wrong with you? Stop looking at my Wikipedia. But here's where I think.
No, I want you to just respond to that.
Okay.
Am I saying, is that crazy?
Okay.
Or am I speaking the truth?
Do you think Urban Meyer signing Tim Tebow is a race thing or a relationship thing?
I think it's, of course, he has a relationship with them. But my point is, I don't think he would do that for just any old body. And if you had examples of black guys in the same situation who flamed out in the NFL, I don't know any examples.
Logan,
you would have
Thomas,
to give me other examples. And I just don't believe in the whole idea that you having a relationship is good enough, because I'm just telling you, I don't think black coaches have the same leeway. And if they brought a guy in off the street who had never played the position, Rod Marinelli got hired as Lions head coach. Rod Marinelli never coached in a high school level head coach, was never a head high school coach or a head college coach. Never.
So, okay, were you upset when Logan Thomas was turned into a tight end after being a quarterback in college? Because he was a quarterback at Virginia Tech, and now he's a tight end in the NFL. Did you say anything about him getting a job over somebody else that had been playing tight end longer than him? Or was it
some of that stuff, and that used to go on too. I mean, if we go into the history of it, a lot of that was racist. They didn't want a black quarterback, so they tried to force guys to play other positions. They were forced.
Yeah, but I don't know that that was the situation with Logan Thomas. I just think they looked at a guy and said, "Hey, man, this might work." And guess what? He had a damn good year last year for Washington.
Did Tim Tebow play?
Catches.
What did he do? Was he playing football last year?
No, he was playing.
How about the year before?
No, I agree with you. I don't think this is a race thing. I think this is a relationship thing. I think he's got a relationship with Urban Meyer, and this, I think the bigger issue that I might have is the close knit circle of friends in the NFL that just seemed to always come back around. Like, it's really hard to not find a job if you're a coach in the NFL, because
if you're black. No, Jonas, and I'm gonna call it like I see it. Unless you're black and you can't get another gig. This is what I'm talking about.
Okay,
you're right. You're right. But most of those guys who keep on the treadmill and keep getting hired, they're white. They're not black. That's the problem.
Okay.
And that's the issue in the league.
Okay, but is that just because of black white, or is that a numbers thing to where there are more white coaches in the NFL than there are black coaches?
No,
which goes to a different conversation of what about just entry into the league, the hiring process into the league? Is it where everybody wants it to be as far as getting more black coaches or minority coaches into the NFL? Probably not, but I do think they've made efforts and strides. Now, I think the Rooney Rule. Personally, it's insulting.
Of course, there you go. And that's, you were just saying that, and I was going to say the Rooney Rule. It tells you how deep-rooted the problem is, and that's why I have an issue with it. If you can give – I just have a problem with it, because I don't think black coaches would do it, because they would be scrutinized for it. Oh, he's hooking up his nephew who was this. Can you imagine a black coach taking his nephew who played some other position and gave him a tryout and gave him a contract to play some other position he's never played? I just couldn't imagine it. That's what I'm saying to you.
Yeah. No, listen, I do think that when it comes to the close-knit community that is the NFL, it feels like it happens in that league more so than, like, look, in the NBA, you don't need any coaching experience and you're going to get a job. All you have to do is be a good player and you're going to get a job, whether it be a Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, whether it's a Steve Nash. Like, all you have to do is just be a good player at some point during your career. Luke Walton, who was an okay player from time to time, like, you could just get a job. In the NFL, it feels like once you're in it, the hardest part is getting a foot in the door. And once you get that foot in the door, then things start to open up for you. This thing with Tim Tebow, though, that feels more like this is about his past with Urban Meyer. I also think this. Look, Tebow was too good to play tight end. Let's just call it what it was. He still saw himself as a quarterback, and I've talked multiple teammates of Tim Tebow's who have told me, and a guy that I had on my weekend overnight show, which I know you always say you never have missed it, right? You never missed
my show. I never missed that show.
Yeah, why is that?
I never listened to it, so I never missed it.
See, so you would have known that we had a guy who was a former teammate of Tim Tebow on who said, and I quote, and this is somebody who played in the NFL for 7 years and played Division I college football, and I quote, Tim Tebow was the worst quarterback I ever played with. and not even close, the worst quarterback I ever played with. And he still saw himself as a quarterback. And I wonder if he looks around and says, all right, well, I don't have much time left, so let me knock on a couple of doors. And Urban Meyer's like, I'll give you a shot. I don't think he's going to make the team. I don't think Tebow's making the team. But the fact that he's here, I think, is more of the relationship
I'll bet you 10 wings he made. They will do whatever it takes for him to be on the team.
Let me tell you something. Last time we did this.
I guarantee you that.
All right. Last time we did this, you bet that Sam Darnold would throw a touchdown on his opening drive in the NFL, and he threw a pick six.
Yeah, I should have won.
Pick six. Yeah, my ass. He's pick six. You found a loophole,
and you still haven't paid me back.
Still haven't paid me back.
It was a touchdown. I told you it would be a touchdown his first pass.
It was to the wrong team.
It was for the other team, but it was a touchdown.
Pick six. All right. 877-99 on Fox is the phone number. 877-996-6369. Why is Tim Tebow back in the NFL? Is it a relationship thing? Is it a race thing? Do you agree with Rob Parker that this is a joke, that he's getting opportunities that others are not getting? 877-99 on Fox, The Odd Couple, Rob Parker, Jonas Knox, and your calls next here on FSR. Stick and stay. Splend America!
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker, weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The official Odd Couple side piece. Oh, man.
That is you.
It is the Odd Couple here on Fox Sports Radio. He is Rob Parker. I am Jonas Knox, in for Chris Broussard. We'll call it 10 minutes from now here on FSR. We are going to go straight to one of the hottest stories in the world of sports. One of the most legendary franchises and fan base is feeling really, really good about their team. We're going to go straight to the scene of the crime here coming up in about 10 minutes from now on Fox Sports Radio. But Rob Parker, we were talking about your guy, Tim Tebow. He is back.
No, your guy.
He is back. Tebow time is back. A tight end now, apparently. He's going to try and make the roster in Jacksonville. And we were discussing why the move was made. Was it is it a relationship thing? Is this about him getting the, is there a race component to all of this? And I know you felt very strongly about this when the news came out.
I just keep seeing it happening over and over. And I just don't see the same opportunities for everybody. And that's what I'm talking about, equality. I'm not talking about anybody getting a leg up on anybody. I don't care what the numbers are. Do the same thing for everybody else. I'm sure there's a tight end, some guy who played in college, who played tight end, actually had some success, things didn't work out, who would love an opportunity. I just think it's wrong. I think it's wrong. I think that when the Mets gave him a roster spot, I thought that was wrong. All the players who tried their best to make it and get an opportunity to play in the minor leagues, and this guy shows up, hadn't played ball in 10 years, and they give him a roster spot. I think there's something wrong with that.
And the thing with the Mets,
no relationship with anybody with the Mets, so I don't. What would you call that, Jonas?
That was a ticket thing. You know what that was.
But what tickets are they selling?
Okay, but that was a minor league. We want to generate some buzz. That was get somebody in the ballpark. Man, you go to a minor league game, they do crap like that all the time. They bring out a guy in a unicycle, and he makes snow globes out of dog crap. Like, it just – they do weird stuff. at minor league games because they're trying to generate any sort of publicity, and Tebow was a publicity stunt. This thing, though – seems like Urban Meyer is like, all right, let me throw my guy a bone and see if we can make this thing work as a tight end. That's what it feels like to me.
Tim in Wichita, Kansas. Is this Tim Tebow? Tim, you're on the Odd Couple. Fox Sports Radio, what you got?
Hey, not Tim Tebow. How's it going, fellas?
Doing good.
Yeah, you know, I kind of disagree with the popular sentiment because I've heard that all day, what you guys are basically saying on the local radio shows and then on the national shows. But, you know, I look at someone like Blake Bell. You know, he was a quarterback right here in Wichita in high school. Then he goes to Oklahoma, plays quarterback. Then they move him to tight end, and he's, you know, had a roster spot ever since. I think a lot of it's just being a good athlete, you know, in being able to use them in different packages, maybe even in pass protection, stuff like that. Antonio Gates basically played basketball his whole life, and then San Diego Chargers turned him into an all-world tight end. And
at was it at 33? Was it at 33 after he hadn't been in the league for 8 years?
But you look at someone
I'm asking you. No, it's not the same. It's not the same as
it's not the same. Every situation's going to be different, but that doesn't mean he's still not a good athlete. I mean,
at 33 years old, no other team extended him an invitation. Not one other who thought the same thing. Oh, Tim Tebow, he's failing at baseball. Let's get him a deal.
Yeah.
The Jacksonville Jaguars had a chance to sign him as a quarterback to sell tickets.
Yeah.
And guess what? They passed.
Yeah.
He can't play.
And thank God for Urban Meyer because Tim Tebow's finally getting an opportunity. He's been getting the short end of the stick
his
whole career.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's finally getting an opportunity. I'm happy.
Bill Belichick even took a flyer on him. He was with the Jets. He didn't play one down. He couldn't play. I'm sorry.
I'm telling you, man, multiple people I talked to said worst quarterback. And here's the thing. The Tebow fan base is passionate as all hell because if you come after their guy, they unload. Nobody can figure out what that year was in Denver. Nobody can figure out how he did it, how they were able to do it. But he had that one thing, and in the words of Shawshank, odd off and vanished like a fart in the wind. He was gone, absolutely gone after that. But now he's back, Rob Parker, and he's finally getting his opportunity. And bravo, he deserves it. About time he got a chance in the world of athletics.
And what was it? Logan Thomas, is that what the guy was?
Yeah, Logan Thomas.
Yeah, I mean, you can't put those two guys in the same sentence.
I'm just saying, that was a guy that played quarterback in college, and they turned him into a tight end. I didn't hear anybody
One guy's 6'6". I'm just saying, it's totally different. It is not a guy who's been on the shelf for all these years who haven't been playing football.
All I'm saying is that I didn't hear anybody outraged when Logan Thomas got a spot that somebody else may have deserved because they'd been playing the position longer. And the HBCU stuff that people are throwing out there, I mean, do you want to be truthful about it? Like, COVID and the season getting pushed back had a lot to do with players not getting drafted. And it's not just a black-white thing. That's just a reality of what COVID
Some of the greatest players who ever played in the NFL came from HBCUs.
Agreed. This year was different. Less.
It didn't stop them from drafting kids from other schools.
Okay,
All I'm saying is it didn't. Not one. Dion's right. Not one.
Less,
there wasn't some special kid with some special ability. That's what scouts are supposed to do. They comb the situation. They find a diamond in the rough. They find a Jerry Rice at a smaller black school, and he turns into the greatest receiver. That's lazy, Jonas. Yeah,
okay,
it's lazy.
Rob, less HBCU players were drafted this year. They hadn't been this low at getting into the NFL since 1993. Why do you think that was? Why all of a sudden this year? Their season got pushed back. Man, James Madison, there were teams just playing last weekend. Like, Deion Sanders was playing in March. This idea that it's just only a race component. It's not, man. There's other things.
I didn't
that
say
are
it was
here.
Only. I did not say it was only, but that's a big part of the equation. Let's go to Keith in Jacksonville. It's a part of our lives in this world we live in. I just cannot close my eyes to it and act like we're all on equal playing field. We're not. And sports is supposed to be the ultimate equal playing field. And, Jonas, that's why the country's 75% white, but the NFL 75% black, because it's an equal playing field, and you give people the opportunity to play. And that's what it's supposed to be. The reason the league is black is not because the owners like black players. It's because they've played better. They've excelled better, so they get the opportunities. That's all I'm talking about. Equal playing field, giving everybody the same opportunity. I don't feel that that's always the case.
Well, hey, listen, black colleges, white coaches, and yellow sugar packets. I mean, we have really run the gamut here, Rob Parker. There's all sorts of stuff on this show. You know,
this is what you get on The Odd Couple. If you want vanilla, turn the station.
By the way, we are brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has more ways for you to start your job your way. That means getting what you need fast. Some jobs can't wait. That's why AutoZone offers free same-day store pickup. Free next-day delivery is available on over 100,000 parts. Visit AutoZone.com today to start your job fast. Get in the zone. AutoZone up next. It is one of the great stories in sports. The return of one of the all-time great franchises, and their fan base is excited. We're going straight to the scene of the crime. That's next here on Fox Sports Radio. But for all the latest,
be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Well, we are going to hear from Ashley Nicole Moss, who's joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. She does a great job at SNY, also works for Sports Illustrated at SI Now as an analyst. Ashley, you're on with Jonas Knox in for Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. You're on with The Odd Couple here on Fox Sports Radio. We appreciate you hanging out with us.
What's up, guys? Thank you so much for having me.
Well, first of all, Ash, are the New York Knicks back? Is there a buzz? Are the Knicks officially back? And what has it like been covering that team and just seeing where they're at now from where they were over the past several years?
Listen, in the words of Julius Randle, New York, we're here. Yeah, listen, this is an amazing time for Knicks fans. I think, you know, one of the longer suffering franchises in sports, much like the Cleveland Browns and much like some other organizations in different sports. This team knows loyalty. The fans know loyalty, but they also know pain. And it is just an amazing feeling to now no longer be in that era of despair and heartbreak. It's incredible to see a winning team. And also, I think what makes it even more enjoyable is even the fans. Not all of them will be completely honest when they say this, but a lot of the fans did not expect this team to look the way it looks. We were prepared to be a rebuilding era. We were prepared to just be at the play-in, if that. We were prepared to not even get 500. So to exceed those expectations, not only from a media standpoint, but from a fan standpoint, is just really incredible.
Yeah, I think it is a surprise for most people. There were, I don't know what happened this year. You know, some teams that have been pretty good over the last few years fell down. And the Knicks just kept winning and didn't start off great, but they started to win. Talk about Julius Randle and his development and where he is. And I think he was the force behind it. And he's blossomed into a player. I know people have mentioned him briefly as an MVP candidate. He's not going to win the MVP. But how big of a job has he done bringing the Knicks back?
He's been sensational. I think if you read his Players Tribune article, his piece rather, he took it really personal that last season he was not the player that Knicks fans and the organization had hoped he would be. And he really took this opportunity on the offseason to get to reintroduce himself to the fan base. And sometimes you don't always get that opportunity. You know, New York is a very tough place to play. If you're playing well, they love you. If you're not playing well, they're not afraid to tell you. And a lot of people do not get the opportunity to make a second impression with Knicks fans. So for him to kind of, one, get that, and two, just exceed beyond their wildest dreams, it's been so meaningful. And I think, you know, he always talks about how much Kobe Bryant instilled that Mamba mentality in him, and you can see it. He's just the glue, the nucleus of this team, and when he's on, the whole team just clicks better. But I think also now, because they know that Julius Randle is the all-star, he's the captain of this ship, if you will, when he's not playing his best, you still have guys who are able to pick up the slack because they know, look, if Julius is not having a good night, he usually is on, so now we got to go ahead and handle the weight for him. So he has a Robin, if you will, in RJ Barrett, in Derrick Rose, the vet, he's been a gift to this franchise, to this team. And he just, like I said, he just really is the driving force behind this train. Knicks fans would not be celebrating this season. The Knicks would not be where they are in the playoff standings if it were not for Julius Randle.
Ashley Nicole Moss joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. She covers the Knicks and does great work at SNY and also SI Now with us here. Rob Parker, Jonas Knox in for Chris Broussard here on Fox Sports Radio. I want to ask you about Tom Thibodeau because his time in Minnesota was just a disaster. It did not go well. A lot of people were just out on him completely. He had early success with the Bulls. That didn't go well either. Why has it worked with this Knicks team? Like what has he done, and what has he done to change just the vibe around the organization to try and get these guys back on in their winning ways?
I think, you know, Tibbs is an old-school type of coach, and I think that works with some markets. I think, you know, what didn't work in the Phil Jackson era is now working with the Tibbs era. I think he has a way of dealing with these guys, speaking with them, not only the younger guys, but he has a way of bringing vets into the situation to go ahead and help them, or help him rather, kind of form these guys and mold them, right? I think Derrick Rose is a prime example of that. He is able to kind of take RJ Barrett and Obi Toppin and Emmanuel Quickley under his wing. And while Tibbs and the coaching staff are working on them, you also have Derrick Rose and Taj Gibson kind of mentoring them. But also, he's a defense guy, and I still believe in the old-school mentality. I know it's such like an old-school way of thinking because this is now such an offensive-heavy league. You know, it's all about scoring. It's all about shooting. People kind of let defense fall to the wayside, but I still believe that defense wins championships, and I love the 90s era of basketball where it wasn't about the long range shots. It wasn't about the three balls. It wasn't about putting up 45 points a game. It was about gritty defense. And one thing I love about this Tibbs era and his coaching style is he really believes in that mantra. And I always believe no matter where you go, no matter what arena you play in, you can always play defense and it always travels with you. And case in point, the New York Knicks on their road trip, they're going to leave regardless 3-3. And they beat the Los Angeles Clippers, which is not an easy thing to do. That's a great basketball team on the strength of their defense.
Ashley, can I just say this? Speak into my heart because I miss the 90s, man. I miss.
Yeah, but that basketball ain't around.
Oh, yeah, I get it. But
you can't touch anybody defensively. You wait till the playoffs start and watch the whistles that they call.
Yeah, but
Ashley's right. The defense you play during the regular year.
But Ashley's right. They give you just a taste to where you're like, man, are we going to get a game in the mid 90s? Like, that's all I'm asking for. I'm not asking for one of these 130, 140 point outputs. Like, I love the defense. I love that sort of style with the Knicks, man. I am all on board, Rob. I'm telling you.
I covered the Knicks. I covered Patrick Ewing and those scrappy teams. It was just a different league, and it'll be interesting to see you know, how it plays out, and you know, if the Knicks could get to the second round. I mean, what are the expectations in the playoffs?
I think the expectations are two things. One, you know, going quickly back to the defensive thing, I think that it works. Because as you can see, if you look at a lot of the games, right, because this is such an offensive-led league and it's all about scoring, shooters do not like to be uncomfortable when they want to get a shot up, right? If you're accustomed to playing in a style of a game that allows you to get shots up, it's all about scoring. You don't really have the pressure of defense. It's uncomfortable to play a team that's all that they're about. And now you have to go to your second, your third, your fourth option, and teams find that annoying, especially when they're used to just chucking up shots, right? But I think in the playoffs, for the Knicks, it's really about, one, getting the experience for these young guys and some of the vets, right, who may not have ever been in a playoff series. Also, it's about seeing what this team looks like in that type of environment because the game changes. It slows down. You know, it's more aggressive. Julius Randle is going to have to do a better job at not getting so frazzled and just up in arms every time he doesn't get a whistle because it's going to happen. You're not going to get the calls you think you deserve in a playoff series, especially a New York Knicks team. It's just not going to happen. So that's going to be another level of experience. And also it's going to help this team figure out, regardless of what happens in the postseason, whether they win a series, whether they don't, it's going to help them get a better look at exactly what holes they need to fill come the offseason, because regardless of how well they're playing, how well the team looks, how well, you know, we as fans feel about it, there's still holes that this team needs to fill in the offseason.
And the fact that they're going to get playoff experience for those young guys, I mean, that's just invaluable.
There are no big free agents this summer, so this will be interesting to see how it plays out. But Ashley, I thought I had a thick New York accent, but my God. All right, yeah, I appreciate it. Where are you from?
Where are you from? I was born in Brooklyn.
Yeah, I'm from Jamaica, Queens. I was going to say, wow. All right, it's all
nice.
Good.
My dad's from Queens. He's from Hollis.
Okay. Ashley, at one New Yorker to another, call me. We'll talk about dogs, daughters, and coffee, okay?
Forget about it.
Yes, forget about it.
Awesome stuff. Thanks, Ashley. We appreciate it. We hope we can do it again soon.
Of course. Thanks, guys.
There she is. Get her on Twitter, at Ash Nicole Moss. Does great work for SNY and SI Now. The Knicks.
See, I was
back.
Making a play, but it didn't go over well.
Right. Let me tell you something. I think you're in the batting cages and you got a tennis racket with no strings.
All right.
There's something about just the garden during playoff time. I don't know what it is. It just there's a feel to it. There's a look there. It feels like playoff basketball. Maybe just that's because I grew up on those Knicks teams that were just savages. And if you got in the paint, you were going to take a beating. But I just love, and I didn't grow up a Knicks fan at all, but I love that the Knicks are relevant. There's just something
I was
about
there.
It feels right.
I was covering all those games. I was there when Reggie Miller scored those points. I could go on and on and on about the Knicks and those teams and how awesome it was. I agree. We just don't have that kind of NBA anymore. So it'll be interesting once they make the playoffs and things change. You know how it goes, Jonas, in the playoffs.
Yep, absolutely. Rob Parker, Jonas Knox. It is the Odd Couple here on Fox Sports Radio. I am in for Chris Broussard. And coming up next here on FSR, we are going to have another edition of Sources Say. What do they say? You're going to have to tune in to find out next here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It is The Odd Couple here on Fox Sports Radio. Rob Parker, Jonas Knox in for Chris Broussard here on FSR. Coming up top of next hour here, Rob Parker is going to take his frustrations out on the greatest quarterback of all time. All right, so fireworks will
be happening. Is that Tim Tebow? Who's that?
Fireworks will be happening here in about 10 minutes from now on FSR. But right now, Rob, it's time for something we do on the show called this.
Check, check, check. Everybody hear me?
My sources say these two have been covering sports for nearly three decades apiece.
I will say this.
Let's put the Big J journalist to the test. It's Sources Say.
That's right. It is Sources Say, the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio, a segment where we put Rob Parker's journalism skills to the test and Jonas Knox just along for the ride to tell me if they can tell the difference between a good source and a bad one. Now, I got a couple of stories that all sound a little bit real. They all sound a little bit fake. It's up to you guys to tell me which ones are real and which ones are not. So let's get right to it very quickly. My sources say that prior to losing to the Lakers, Phoenix Suns guard Devin Booker was on a triple date that included Justin Bieber. Rob, my source is good.
I'm going to say that sounds like that could be possible. I'm going to say yes, it was a triple date. I went on a triple date, and we went to go see the movie Blood Beach. That was the movie we went to see. It's a true story,
Beach.
Blood Beach.
Isn't it called Brokeback Mountain?
No.
Oh.
What? My God.
I thought that was, you told me that was the movie you saw.
No, it was Blood Beach.
Sorry.
All right.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
That was, by the way, that was Rob talking to a pack of Splenda.
That's true.
I'm going to say these sources are good. I'm going to say these sources are good. And I'm going to say these sources are good because isn't he dating a Kardashian, if I'm not mistaken?
He's dating a Jenner, but close enough.
Okay,
yes.
Well, all right. Sorry.
It's
sorry.
Okay.
Right. Listen, there's just so many of them. What do you want me to do?
I just don't understand. The NBA, all these guys, there's only three women they mess with. I don't get it.
And you talk about a tight-knit family and the coaching community in the NFL. What do you mean?
All right, very quickly, my sources say that a LeBron James rookie card featuring over two dozen real diamonds just hit the auction with a price tag of over $250,000. Jonas, are my sources good?
No, they're not good. I don't buy it. Not buying it for a second.
I'm going to say true, considering the way these cards have been selling lately.
You sit on a throne of lies.
Yeah.
And that's all the time we have. So Jonas Knox.
How about that?
Gets the win.
What?
What a day. What a day, man. A couple of guys who can't catch a break. Tim Tebow and I have had ourselves a hell of a day, Rob Parker.
What do you guys have in common? Just one thing.
What's that?
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know.
All right. It is the Odd Couple. We got another hour to play with here on Fox Sports Radio. Stick and stay.
Splend America.